I feel His Spirit telling me, you better get ready to go. Make sure your lamp is burning bright, no spot or wrinkle in sight. It's almost over, you're soon to be at home. I thank God for His stirring that I'm feeling down in my soul. I feel His Spirit telling me, you better get ready to go. Make sure your lamp is burning bright, no spot or wrinkle in sight. It's almost over, you're soon to be at home. It's almost over, you're soon to be at home. There's a strange and different stirring that I'm feeling down in my soul. I feel God's Spirit telling me, prepare, get ready to go. Make sure your lamp is burning bright, no spot or wrinkle in sight. It's almost over, you're soon to be at home. I thank God for His stirring that I'm feeling down in my soul. I feel His Spirit telling me, you better get ready to go. Make sure your lamp is burning bright, no spot or wrinkle in sight. It's almost over, you're soon to be at home. Lord, help me lay aside any weight that's holding fast to me.
I like that music.
Please cleanse this waiting vessel.
I like that music. I like that music. Hey, my friends, we're soon to be at home. Are you aware of that? We are truly soon to be at home. You know, nobody knows that day or hour. We don't set the date. We just know He's coming and we're looking for Him. Are you ready? Let me ask you, and way down deep inside, don't answer this question carelessly. Are you ready? Do you know that you have the wedding garment on? Do you know that you're fully prepared? That if He would come today, you are ready to go? Well, my friend, I want to tell you there's nothing on the face of this earth as exciting as being ready for that rapture. I'm ready with all my heart. Hey, I don't belong to this world anymore. I am no longer of this world. I like this this beautiful picture on the free booklet I'm giving you today. I'm no longer part of this world. Now, we are living in such an hour that that is desperately the need. Now, I really plan to do the program today on Revelation chapter 5, and I'll probably do that next Saturday. But I want to do a program today on Under the Umbrella of the Blood. Under the Umbrella of the Blood. I feel like this program is so necessary and so absolutely the message of the hour to begin this new year. This is the first broadcast of the new year. And to begin this new year, we're going to talk about Under the Umbrella of the Blood. If you do not understand the truth about the blood, you are in trouble already. And if your church doesn't preach Jesus and the blood regular and often, it's got to be the crux of the message. The fundamental of the church is the blood of Jesus Christ. That's that divine blood. Now, there are even arguments today about is the blood divine. That's not even an argument. That's insanity not to know that the blood is divine blood. He could not have redeemed my and your sins had His blood not been absolutely divine and absolutely pure. Without one ounce of the Adamic nature, it had to be pure. And that blood was indeed perfectly pure. And nothing is more wonderful than to know that that blood was indeed pure. Now, there's several things I want to talk about today. I want to talk about the cleansing by the blood. I want to talk about sanctification of the old Adamic nature by the blood. I want to talk about the infilling of the Holy Spirit by the blood. I want to talk about divine healing by the blood. And I want to talk about prayer. A prayer life that is rooted and grounded in the authority of the blood. In the entering into that place, the Bible calls the veil, behind the veil, his flesh being the new veil, where you go to pray. Now, these things are really powerful, and I want you to be involved. Now, it's snowy here, and my wife, I would not let her get out. My back porch and all was just dangerous. It really was. And so our minister, our associate minister here, learning and getting used to me and me to him, precious young man, Brother Joseph Gans, he's answering the phone. And I want you to ask me any question that you could imagine that has to do with the blood. I really do. I want you to understand this blood. I want you, with all that's in you, forgive me for ever checking, I want you to understand this blood, because it's the centrality of our message, the blood of Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there is no redemption. And could I tell you something? Your life is in your blood. Your life is in your blood. When your blood is gone, your life is gone. Well, Jesus Christ's divine blood was his divine life. And that divine blood made his whole person a divine being. He was the holy thing, that divine Son of God. And that is so beautiful to study and to learn and to know. And it's the center. And if you've never really given yourself to studying the blood, you've got to do that. I'd love to offer you this booklet as free today, Under the Umbrella of the Blood. Under the Umbrella of the Blood is very big, about 10 pages here. And I'm telling you, this will change your life. And of course, Brother Joseph, his name is Joseph too. He'll take your call and take your name and address. If we already have your address, just give him your name and your phone number. And we will send this to you free. And you can study the blood. Under the Umbrella of the Blood. This will change your life if you've never studied the blood. This will change your life if you've never studied the blood. Now, I want to get the Bible here, and you may want to take your Bible and read with me. Turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 9. The book of Hebrews chapter 9. Hey, let me ask you, how many of you have listened to the Bible study on Facebook from yesterday? There's been about 700 people who viewed it and listened to it, and that's thrilling to me. But I just believe it ought to be many more than that. It ought to be, you know, I have over 4,000 friends on my Facebook, so there ought to be 4,000 listening to this message every Friday. Friday at 12 o'clock every Friday. Sometimes I've been a little late, but Friday I was right on time, and I will do my best to do that. And about 20-minute Bible study that'll really bring you right into the heart of the Bible. And I'm doing this because I love you and because I care. And the program today, of course, and we are on Facebook. I'm proud of that. And if you're listening to Facebook, share it with a friend. Share it with all your friends. How many people could be brought into this equation today and study this with us and learn with us and even ask questions of me? Anybody out there with a telephone or with a computer can send me an email message, or you can call. I'd rather you call. I'd love to talk to you. You're my guest. You do know that, don't you? You're my guest on this broadcast. I don't normally have guests except all of you. And so I love your calls, and the number is very easy to remember, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. And we have a toll-free number anywhere in America and Canada, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. And email jrc@paulcreek.org. Let me just put this up a minute. I don't like to leave it up because it gets in my way. But there it is, 704-391-0588. 1-800-338-7884, of course, international, 011-704-391-0588, and then JRC, email now, jrc@paulcreek.org. Now your Bible. You got your Bible. Book of Hebrews 9:11. Let's read a few verses. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle. Listen to that. Not made with hands. That's his body. That is to say, not of this. Not of this. Well, let me get my right word here. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Wow. Let's read it. But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. Therefore, that is to say, not of this building. See, it's a divine body. That's what he's talking about. His body was the tabernacle. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth unto the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, listen to this now, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Now, you know, that verse is so powerful. It's really beyond powerful. It's supernatural. This is supernatural power. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Now, friend, you got to understand, the blood of Jesus is supernatural power. The blood of Jesus is divine sacrifice. The blood of Jesus is supernatural cleansing. The blood of Jesus can reach into the heart of the dirtiest, most evil, most wicked man or woman on the face of this earth. And one sweep of that blood wash them and purify them until they will be as clean as when they was born from their mother's womb. I mean, perfect and even more clean, because if they'll go on with God, he will sanctify them and break that old Adamic nature and enable you to live a pure and godly and a holy life in this world, in this unclean world, if you want me to say it that way. Now, friend, this is something breathtaking to me. This is something breathtaking to me. Five things I want you to make sure you get today. You got to get this. That your cleansing of your sins, the preparing of your heart and life to serve Christ and to go to heaven, has got to be by the blood. If you are not washed in the blood, if all you've done is had an intellectual experience and just believed up here with your head and you didn't pray and have a heart experience with Christ, then you're just as unclean and just as lost as if you'd never been to a house of God. You've got to be washed in the blood. You've got to be cleansed by the blood. You've got to be purified by the blood. Are you hearing me? Oh, I hope you are, because your life is dependent on this, and your eternal soul is dependent on this. You're saved by the blood. And then he actually will sanctify you. That's an old truth of the Methodists and the Baptists, and certainly the Pentecostals, that once you are saved, you have an Adamic nature. You were born with that Adamic nature. He forgives you of your guilt when you're saved, but he sanctifies and breaks the power of that old carnal flesh when you are sanctified. I'm here to tell you, he will break that power of your flesh. You have a habit, say, of tobacco. You get saved, let him save you and sanctify you, and that old habit of tobacco will disappear as though you never had it. He will cleanse and purify that old nature that you were born with and that you've carried all these years. He'll forgive you of your sins. He'll sanctify you of that nature, and then he'll fill you with the Holy Spirit. He earned that right by the blood. You understand that? Every promise in the Bible is by the blood. The New Testament is sealed by the testator. And Jesus was the testator. And no testator has value until he dies. It was the death of Jesus that sealed the testament and made every promise in the Bible legitimate for you to depend upon, for you to believe in, for you to live by, for you to know the Lord by. And this is why we believe in divine healing. We believe that Jesus Christ in that divine body with his divine blood allowed himself to be beaten with stripes, whipped by the Roman authority until he was on the verge of death. He couldn't die because he wouldn't die. And that's the only reason they couldn't kill him. It was because he was divine and they couldn't kill him. He had to die of his own choice. But by that blood, he earned the right as he hung on that whipping post and was beat in an inch of his life. He earned the right to heal you and to make you whole in your body. Oh, he's healed me so many times. How many times? Here I am nearly 81, and he's healed me and kept me healthy. And so I'm here preaching to you because I know the power of living under the umbrella of the blood. And now, that's four. But number five is the power of prayer. Now, I don't know whether you've learned the power of prayer or not. But you must learn the power of prayer. Let me read that to you. We open the lines now. They're ready to answer. Call 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. Grab your phone. Send an email, jrc@pawcreek.org, right now. The phones are open and ready. Have four lines. We don't have but one person answering today because of this weather. He will answer and he'll be speedy. And so you don't have to worry about a thing. Grab your phone right now. Grab your phone, 704-391-0588. But I want to talk about prayer. See, this church world is desperate for prayer. We need a baptism of prayer to grip the church world. Our nation has been in deep trouble, and we've seen some progress over the last months, but we're not there yet. We need a lot of people praying for the president and praying for all of his cabinet and praying for every person who has responsibility and pray for every member of the House and the Senate and pray for your state leaders. Pray that God will break these powers of darkness and the devil and hell that comes against America like a storm and, of course, against the church. I want to tell you something. The church would be turned upside down in a short period of time if our preachers would start preaching about the blood, and you would start living under the umbrella of the blood, and you would start praying by the power of the blood. We would turn the church upside down. We'd drain the swamp in the church, just like our president to be is claiming to drain the swamp in politics. But the church needs the swamp drained. Do you hear me? There's so little preaching about the rapture, about the millennial kingdom, about the return of Christ, about the blood, about saving power, sanctifying power, the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, the divine healing. Listen to this. I want you to hear it. Having, therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now that holiest is a place of prayer. It's the inner sanctum of his nearness, of his wonderful warm love and holy power. I know what it means to pray until you enter into the veil. I've been there so many times through my life. Just this week on Thursday night, my two ministers on the staff came and we prayed together. And I'm here to tell you, the presence of God filled that sanctuary. And it was wonderful to pray within the veil until you know you're at the presence of the Lord and you sense it. And that's what he said. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil. Notice that, through the veil. That is to say, his flesh. His flesh is your new veil. His flesh is your new veil. That veil is an entrance into the Holy of Holies. Entrance into the presence of the Lord. And his flesh is your door into the presence of the Lord. There's nobody listening to me out there who will give yourself to the Lord, be washed from your sins by his blood, be set apart by his blood to live clean and holy. There's not a one of you that can't pray until you enter into the veil. You can go into the veil. That's what he said. Having, therefore, brethren, boldness. Boldness. Think about that word, boldness. Not by your power, not by your goodness, not by who you are, but by the blood, by his name, by his veil. enter into the holiest by the blood, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for himself through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. Notice the house of God. People today don't care much for the church. They deny that there's such a thing as a house of God and an altar in the house of God, a place where the saints gather together. I'm not in this new thing of little eat-ins in people's homes and calling them a church. You need the real church. You need the real house of God. You say many churches are not the real house of God. Yeah, and there's many prayer meetings in homes. That's not the real prayer meetings either. So you just remember what can be wrong in a church can be wrong in a home. Always remember that. Is that simple? Oh, that's so simple. Listen, let us hold fast the profession of our faith, nothing wavering. I want you to know you got a pastor friend sitting here. I don't waver when it comes to these things of God. I'm telling you, it's right on. He is everything he says he is. The blood is everything the Bible says that blood is. The devil hates the blood of Jesus. The devil hates the blood of Jesus. Do you understand that? The devil hates the blood of Jesus, but he cannot defeat it. He cannot defeat it. Now, it's time for the phones to ring. I don't want any lax now, whether you're listening by radio, by internet, or by Facebook. It doesn't matter. Same thing, same numbers. Call me, 1-800-338-7884. Got that? 1-800, well, I meant to eliminate that a long time ago and hadn't done so. 1-800-338-7884, 7041. Now, this is a local number. Good all around for long distance, 704-391-0588. And you can email me, jrc@paulcreek.org. jrc@paulcreek.org. Grab your phone. Let's talk about the blood. How many out there believe in the authority and the power of the blood? How many out there believe that the blood can wash away the darkest, deepest sin a human being could have? The only sin the blood can't cleanse is blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Nothing can cleanse that blood, that sin, because it's an unforgivable sin. But every sin beyond that, or under that, or even that would appear to you equal to that, or even greater than that. Somebody has murdered somebody. Somebody's a homosexual. Somebody's a fornicator. Somebody's committed adultery. Somebody is cussed and swore and lived nasty. I want to tell you something. The blood will wash away that sin. The blood will wash away that sin. The power of the blood. I want to scream that. The power of the blood. And I want you to live under the umbrella of the blood. I want you to live under the umbrella of the blood. I want you to know the authority of this blood. I want you to understand how the blood can set you free from every habit you've ever had. Or every habit you now have. I want you to hear that. The blood can set you free from it. The blood can break that old habit. The blood can break that old habit. The blood can free you of being the worst alcoholic in Charlotte, North Carolina. The blood can free you from years of homosexuality and lesbianism. The blood can free you from being a fornicator and an adulteress. The blood can free you of all those sins. And you will not want them if he frees you and sanctifies you from their power. You got to hear me. I'm bringing you something that can change your life. I love you. I care about you. You're real to me. You're real to me. Now call quickly, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588. I want your question. I want to answer whatever is troubling you. You see, we got a troubled world that we're living in. There is so much pain out there. There is so much mental and physical and emotional confusion out there. There is so many people bound by demon spirits, bound by spirits of doubts and fear, spirits of anger, spirits of jealousy, spirits of envy, strife. All of these are works of Satan. The blood will wash you from every one of them. The blood will wash you from an emotional disturbed life. You say, Brother Chambers, now, that's the blood will, yes, the blood will cleanse you from an emotionally disturbed life. The blood will cleanse you from hatred that has eaten you up. Your daddy treated you like a dog, and you've hated him for 40 years or 50 years. Where you call, or you get on your face right where you are, and you claim the blood of Jesus to cleanse you and wash you, repent. Now ask God to forgive you. You've got to be willing to repent. That's very important. You've got to be willing to repent. But I'm telling you, he'll wash you. He'll cleanse you. He'll change you. He'll make a new creature out of you, and you'll never be the same. Now, I'm waiting on your calls. I really want to get right to the heart of this subject. If everything that's in me, I want you to be blessed today. I want somebody to be set free. You know what I'd love? I'd love for about 10 people to really get saved. You say, Brother Chambers, I've been to church. I've joined churches. I've been around religion. My mom and daddy were Christians. They really loved God, but I just never been able to make it. I've never been able to really come to a point that I really, really became a genuine Christian. Let's do it today. Let's do it today. Let's decide today's my day. I'm going to surrender me to Christ. I'm going to give my life to Christ, and I'm going to be born again. I will pray with you. I'd love to pray with you right on the radio, and maybe 10 others could pray with us at the same time. And all of you could get saved and be washed in the blood. And when you were free with being saved, your face will light up and your whole life will be changed and you will be a new creature. Are you listening to this, preacher? You see, I care about you. I'm not here putting on a show. I'm not here doing something just to be religious. I don't have a bunch of my own theology to bring you. All I've got's this book, this holy and blessed book. And this book will change your life, and he will make a new creature out of you. He really will. And I know it usually takes 30 minutes of me sharing with you and teaching you and preaching you for you to get started calling. But I want you to call and ask me. Ask me about repentance. What part does repentance play in me being washed in the blood? Listen to that. What part does repentance play in me being washed in the blood? Or you may say, what part does going to church play with me becoming a Christian? Or you may want to ask, how important is it for me to read the Bible? And how do I understand the Bible? When I read the Bible, I just don't seem to understand it. I can't grasp what it's saying. I need some help with that. I mean, there are so many questions that circle around the idea of living under the umbrella of the blood. And those are questions I want to help you with, because I want you to become a dynamic Christian. I want you to become a sold-out believer. I want you to know the Lord with all of your heart. I want you to be brand new in the faith and in the Christ. And I want you to have this life. Now grab your phone. Don't wait another minute. Almost half of my time is gone with me preaching to you. Now it's time for me to talk to you. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Grab your phone quickly before you forget the number. 704-391-0588. And then if you're calling from outside the realm and you just don't have the money to pay a phone bill, then dial the toll-free number. It won't cost you a penny. 1-800-338-7884. I won't know when I pick up the phone whether you call by 800 or call by 704. So it won't be no question in my mind. I'm here to help you either way. And I'm here to minister to you. I'm really, really here to help you have a place with Christ that will change your life. A place with Christ that will change your life. There's nothing more wonderful than this place with Christ that will literally and absolutely change your life. There's nothing like it. And I want to hear from you. I really do. All right, here's a question about blood. All right. Some churches think talking about blood is too graphic. They want messages that preach love and prayer or peace and that reasonable, educated people can grab and understand. What do you say to them? Now, if you want a sermon that eliminates and excludes the blood and you don't care whether you go to heaven or not, you're not worried about hell as a place where the wicked go. And so you just want a soft message, a message that satisfies your intellectualism, I guess would be the word. Then, you know, ask for a message that doesn't include the blood, but it won't save you. You'll still be as lost as if you'd never been to church. You'll still be as lost if you never heard the name of Jesus. Only the blood can wash you from your sins. And a preacher is responsible. A preacher is responsible to preach that blood. If your preacher don't preach the blood, he's an imposter. He's not a real preacher. He is into heresy. He's not a gospel man. And you'll go to hell under that kind of preaching. And you better get rid of it. You better get rid of it. I'm telling you, I got a call here. Let me take that. You are on the air. May I help you, please? Wait a minute. Let me get everything. You're there now.
Okay, what I've been curious about is when like, you know that people have hurt you in the past, and, you know, they've done really bad things, and, you know, you've tried to do things good in your whole entire life. You know, when you know you're going to be going to heaven, and even if that person has hurt you, they get saved, how can you find that forgiveness in your heart?
Well, that's something the Lord helps you do. When you come to Christ and you ask Him to forgive you, and you still are faced with it. I know I've had to do this too. There's a scripture I love. It's in the book of Romans. And I've used it so many times in the book of Romans. It really is wonderful. The book of Romans, let me take you there. Romans 6, verse 11. I've used this verse to bless me and help me. It says, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Now, here's what he says. Count it done. I'm coming to you, Jesus. I cannot forgive this person. I've had a hard time with it. I'm repenting, and I'm forgiving them with all I've got, and I'm right now reckoning you, Lord, to cleanse me of that so it will disappear. I've never had it fail. When I pray like that and mean it and take God at His word, every time I'm free. Can you do that?
Yes, and every time I start feeling that way, about that person, I just keep on saying the same things.
Well, you know, you are the one that's got to walk past that. You've got to turn it loose. The Bible said without faith, it is impossible to please God. You've got to believe Him to do it and then go on about your life. Father, help this dear lady to find this grace of Romans 6 and 11 to reckon it done, to count it done, to receive it done, and to be free of it in Jesus' name. I count it done, sister. I count it done now, okay?
I thank you very much, and I'm never going to give up my faith in God because He's been the thing that's been making me get through my whole entire life.
And you probably need to spend more time in prayer. Nothing helps you grow than living in the Bible, spending time in prayer, and being faithful in your church. Have you got a good Bible-believing church?
Yes, I do.
Be there regular. When the doors are open, be there. Live in your Bible. Read it every day. And don't just read it hurriedly. Read it carefully and slowly. And let God work in you as you read it. And it'll grow. It'll get bigger and bigger and better and better. Thank you, dear lady. It's a joy. It's a joy to be a blessing to you. Now, whoever out there that has any kind of a need like this, I would love to help you. See, I can only give you God's answer. I can't give you my answer. I don't have some answer of my flesh. The answers are in the Bible. And if you come to Christ and you claim and believe and trust Him, He is not going to fail you. Let's go to another question here. Lock her up. Now, let's see. That's not a question to me. All right, here we go. Hello, Pastor Chambers. Could you explain Ezekiel 33 and 13? Ezekiel 33 and 13. Let's go there while you're calling now. Grab your phone. Grab your phone. I want you on the line. I love it when I can talk to you. 33 and 13, and I'm waiting for you to call. I'm waiting for you to call. Let me go to this scripture. 33, 13, when I shall say, let me make sure now, when I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely die if he trust in his own righteousness, and commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered, but for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. That means, Roger, exactly what it says. A righteous man that turns from his righteousness. You got to hear this, folks. This is a powerful verse. When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely die, or surely live, I'm sorry, shall surely live. If, now listen, he shall surely live if he trusts in his own righteousness. If he trusts in his own righteousness and commit iniquity. And commit iniquity. All his righteousness shall not be remembered. But in his iniquity that he have committed, he shall die. Here's a righteous man turning from his righteousness, committing iniquity, and dying in that iniquity without repentance. And he will be eternally lost. In his iniquity shall he die. Did you get that? Did you get that? Everybody out there, don't want anybody to fail. I want to make sure you got it because it's very important. Now, back to the phones. I want to hear from you. You are very important to me. You are very important to me. I'm looking. I have to leave my regular frame when I'm on when I go to the emails, and I can't see what's going on, and I'm a little bit uncomfortable. So I'm right back now where I should be. I want to hear from you. Grab your phone. I want your question. I want to help you find an answer for your relationship with God and for living under. Notice this, under the umbrella of the blood. In other words, every day you cling to the blood. Every day you trust in the blood. You whatever you're doing for God, you depend on the blood. Your faith is in the blood. Are you hearing that? If you trust in anything but the blood, you're in trouble. If you trust in anything but the blood, you're in trouble. I beg of you to every day read these great scriptures and trust in the blood. Some of the greatest books you'll ever find are books by Arnold Murray as he wrote about the blood. An old-fashioned Presbyterian man, been dead many years, but his material will stir your soul. R.A. Torrey has good stuff on the blood. There's numbers of good little books, not fresh, not new ones, the old stuff. Is where you really find the good things. And I'm delighted to have an article like this because this is an article that comes out of a man who believes utterly in the blood, and I don't trust in anything but the blood. I want nothing but the blood to be my anchor. I'm depending on the blood every day. I've been saved 64 years, and I'm still trusting in the blood. Can you be any more real than that? Now grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. Now, there are so many good scriptures in this Bible that deal with the blood. And I want you to learn how to trust in nothing but the blood. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by what? The blood. Now, if a preacher don't preach the blood, if he says, oh, that's gory to me. You know, that's what many are saying. Most churches today never preach the blood, and so never anybody gets saved. They get religion. They don't get saved. The churches, their people are just lost. If you haven't clung to the blood, if you haven't been washed in the blood, if you haven't been saved by the blood, you're lost. Can I say that and you not feel bad at me? Hear me, everybody across Charlotte, across the whole communities, across the internet, worldwide, across Facebook, worldwide. Hear me when I say, if you haven't trusted in the blood, you are lost. You are going to go to hell if you don't repent. You're going to be lost. Can you hear what I'm saying? My church don't preach the blood. Well, change churches. Do it in a hurry. I wouldn't wait another hour. No, sirree, not an hour. I'd be in a church that preaches the blood, that preaches the great grace of God, the mercies of His righteousness and His holiness and His love. If the weather clears up, I'm preaching tomorrow on the wedding in the sky. It looks like it may be going to clear up this afternoon. We don't really know. We'll know probably not till in the morning. But I can tell you this. I can tell you this. I hope we can have church. And I'm going to preach, if we do have church, on the wedding in the sky. Can you imagine anything more precious than that? The wedding in the sky. That's the great marriage supper. That's the great marriage supper. Now let's go while I'm waiting on you and waiting on your calls. Hey, 704, I know this is the first of the year, and I know it's a bad weather day, and I know there's all kind of things out there that got your mind and attention, but I hope you're listening. And if you are, grab your phone and call and let me help you, whatever your question is. Y'all, you say, but this subject is so simple, nobody has any questions. I'm sorry. There's a lot of folks out there that have questions. They may not be willing to ask them because they may be afraid that they would be made to feel guilty. Or, you know, don't worry. I will not make you feel anything bad. The best of my ability, I only want you convicted of your sins so that you repent. I want you to know that sin is terrible, and sin is horrible, and sin is damning. And it's a fearful thing. Listen, this is scripture. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of our living God. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of our living God. Now, if you don't want to talk to me, but you want this booklet, please call quickly and let us get this off to you. I want you to have this free booklet. Very, very beautiful name. Under, excuse me. Under, and I'll be okay. Under the umbrella of the blood. Under the umbrella of the blood. That's the picture. I am no longer of this world. And I can say that with all that's in me. I'm no longer of this world. I want you to get to that place. Now, let me take you to this scripture that I want to share with you. That is, you know, the Bible is a mighty book. And you got to learn to live by this Bible. You really have. You got to learn to live by this holy book, because this holy book will change your life. It'll make everything different about you. It'll change you from the head to the toe. Now, let me go. Matthew 25, what I wanted to read. So many people are living so careless, and the coming of the Lord is at the door. I mean, at the door. And people are not even concerned about it. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10, like 10 virgins. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and took no oil with them. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 of them were foolish. Listen, they that were foolish took no oil with them. They that were foolish took their lamps, but took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, that's right now, the bridegroom is tarrying. The bridegroom is getting ready to come. The bridegroom is preparing for this glorious moment. This is the year of the bride, not the year of the rapture. I don't know when that is. The year of the bride. Excuse me. The year of the bride. I mean, it's a year to get ready. It's a year to make sure you're dressed in the wedding garment. It's a year to make sure your life is utterly on the altar. Utterly on the altar, that there's oil in your vessel. These foolish virgins had no oil in their vessel. And at midnight there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go you out to meet him. Then all these virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and for you. But go you rather to them that buy and sell, and get oil for yourself. And while they went to get oil, the bridegroom came, and the door was shut. Oh, Brother Chambers, I don't believe that scripture. You mean to tell me you would doubt the word of Jesus Christ? You mean to tell me you would call Jesus' teachings being false? You mean you'd be careless about what this Bible says from the words of the Son of God? Now, I really want to help some of you, whoever it is of you, who needs to understand. Many are called. That was the name, or at least that was a part of the Bible study yesterday. Many are called, but few are chosen. Many are being wooed. The Lord is moving on them. Conviction grips their heart. They know they're sinners and they feel guilty. They know they're not ready to go and they don't sleep well at night. They know He's about to come, but they're careless. Many are called. You're one of the called. I'll guarantee you there's thousands of people out there who know you've been called, but you've never said yes. And so you've been called, but the Bible said many are called, but few are chosen. He can only choose you when you surrender to Him. That's not some Calvinistic idea that He chooses some and doesn't choose others. No, no, no. He's talking about Him calling you and you hearing and you say yes and you surrender and you give him your life. He washes you in his blood. He makes a new creature out of you. And then you are one of the chosen. How many of you can say today, I am without a doubt, I know I'm utterly his. The world doesn't hold anything for me any longer. I'm not chasing after the world. I'm not chasing after pleasures. I'm not chasing after habits. I don't want to look like the world, smell like the world, talk like the world, act like the world. I am a new creature. I am a new creature. If you are a new creature and you know it, and he's taken over your life, and he's the center of your everything, it's wonderful to know I'm ready to go. It really is. And I want you to be ready to go. And if you're not ready, I want to help you. I'd love to help somebody today. Now, the phones are still open. 1-800. Are you listening? 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Hey, friend. It's later than you think. We're coming down to the wire. We're coming down to the last hour. I really believe Jesus could come in the year 2017. I actually looked for him in 2016. But 2017 is now here. And so I'm looking for him. And there's no one out there. Look at Israel. Look at what is happening with the Jewish state. Looking at the enemies of Israel who are determined to divide their land. I mean determined to divide their land. President Carter, determined to divide their land. President Obama, determined to divide their land. And there's others, I'm sure, that I would not be able to name because I've not heard them say it. But I want to tell you, there's a lot of effort, but the Bible makes it plain. That's one of the last ditch things of the present generation is the effort to divide the land of Israel. One of the last things. And then you can just look at all the signs out there. They are everywhere. We are on the verge of his coming. He could come any moment. Well, I'm sitting here wanting so much to help you. Very concerned out there about anybody that needs help, that needs a miracle in your life. Let's see here. What is the meaning? I'm sorry. My throat's been giving me a fit. What is the meaning of Revelation 6 and 7? Well, let's go there. Revelation 6 and 7. The Bible is such a wonderful book. I mean, memorizing and living in the pages of this book changes your life. The scripture is 6 and 7. 6 and 7. All right. Let's hear that verse. And when he had opened the fourth seal, make sure I'm right. When he'd opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. Well, that's the same as you see throughout this chapter. The first four seals are all horses, which represents the going forth of judgment. And here's the going forth of judgment. And he's simply saying, look at what's happening. Look at the judgment that's coming. Look at the dark things that's falling on the earth. Look at the great trauma that's gripping the humankind. That's what he's saying. Come and look at it. And he's trying to point the picture for us to see how near we are to the coming of the Lord. Trying to help us see and know how near we are to the coming of the Lord. We really are at the door, my friend. We are at the door so beautifully and so powerfully and so wonderfully. I get overwhelmed when I see all the Lord is doing and how near we are and how close we are. And then I realize how few people really grasp it. How many of you out there grasp it? Let's take these last minutes and let's share some testimonies of people who know you have surrendered everything and you're ready to go. Grab your phone, 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588. Grab your phone. I want you to hear. I want you to be a part of it. I want you to know you're ready. And if you're not ready, I want to help you. I will do everything in my power. I would pray. I can't wait for revival to start because I'm looking for these doors to fling open on Sunday morning with people coming from every direction wanting to get right with God. We're coming down to the wire. If you go into an old dead church, get out of there. Or maybe you want to first go to your preacher, see if you can change him. See if you can get him in the Bible. See if you can get them to understand the great truth. But if you can't, don't stay there and dry up and lose your soul. Walk with God and live close to Calvary and be on fire for Him and get ready, because the coming of the Lord is at the door. Now, I really want to give this to a lot of people. I do. I want to give this article to a lot of people under the umbrella of the blood. Under the umbrella of the blood. And I know these kind of Saturdays, when things are like they are, can be kind of a drag. And I'll just stay right here with it. I mean, I got plenty to say. I'm here to tell you, the coming of the Lord is at the door. And here's what I'm going to do now. While I'm waiting on you to call, I'm going to take you to Revelation 5. And I'm going to get started, kind of lay the foundation for the program next Saturday. Lay the foundation for the program next Saturday. Revelation 5. See, Revelation 4 and 5 is a celebration in heaven. The rapture takes place at the first verse of chapter 4. The church age ends with the last verse of chapter 3. First verse of chapter 4, the rapture occurs. And then a celebration begins. The celebration is in heaven. Not in heaven as we know right now, where the throne of God is, but in the heavens, where Satan has been driven out and God has placed His throne in a great expanse of the heavens, and we have gathered together around Him, and the great celebration has begun. Has begun. Well, here it is, and it's beautiful. And I saw, listen now, in the right hand of Him that sat on the throne, a book. Did you know there are 6 books in the Bible? The first book is the book of the record of all of the parts of my life and my body. Every one of us, God has a record of every part of our body. The next book is a beautiful book about the remembrance, those that the Lord remembers, those that speak often of Him, those that love Him, those that talk about Him, those that live for Him, a book of remembrance. I read just this week where one of the great writers of the past felt like that was a book that God just keeps a record of those who love Him. I called it the roll call for the rapture. The roll call for the rapture. And then there's the book of all of our deeds. There's a record of every deed you've ever done. Everything you've done except one thing. Those things that have been washed away by the blood of Jesus. The only thing that's not in this great group of books called the records of our deeds, the records of all our lives and everything we've ever said and done, everything you've ever said and done, a record is kept of all of that. And the only things missing is what the blood of Jesus has washed away. Isn't that wonderful to know that here's a group of books in heaven? There's probably thousands of them. And there's a record in all of them of all of us, everything we've ever said or done. And the only thing missing is those things the blood of Jesus has washed away. Can you remember that? The only thing missing from those books are the things the blood of Jesus has washed away. Oh, what a God, what a Christ, what a Savior, what a Redeemer. I don't know about you, but these things really bless my soul. Let me read on. I saw in the right hand of Him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside and sealed with 7 seals. Now this book is a book in the Father's hand. Not even Jesus has ever touched this book. This book was written by the Father upon the moments and the time when the devil stole this earth from Adam and Eve. When he became the usurper, they called him. And he took over and set up his kingdom in the midair. And since then, 6,000 years, Satan has been the prince of the power of the air. And God the Father wrote a book that is the title deed of this earth. And all that is required to redeem it and to bring it back into His full and total possession. And that's what this book of chapter 5 of Revelation is all about. Now, you can understand how next Saturday that can be an incredible discussion. This book of the title deed of this earth. If you think the devil owns this earth, you are fooling yourself, my friend. He's an usurper, they call him. He usurped his right. He stole his right. He deceived Adam and Eve and entered into the heritage, but only temporary, because the Father immediately wrote this book, the title deed of the earth. And here it is in his hands. Revelation chapter 5, the rapture has taken place. God is on his throne. The saints are gathered all around him. The angels are everywhere. It's a breathtaking picture. And the Father holds this book in his hand. And here's what we hear. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to take this book?" Now, I'm not going to go any further, because that's where we're going to start next Saturday. Who is worthy? Now, consider it, if you can understand it. See this great book in the Father's hand. It's divine. It's supernatural. The Father alone possesses it. The Father alone has handled it. The Father alone has kept the records. The Father alone has full authority and full power. This book is his book. This book is in his hands. If you don't understand the Trinity of God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, this is a good place for you to start. Because the Father has the book, but there's got to be somebody kin to the Father who can take this book and who can open it. And that's where the whole question arises at the beginning of chapter 5. A book is in the Father's hand. He possesses it. He controls it. He owns it. He wrote it. It's his possession. It's his authority. It's his action. But he's got to have a second person who is of kin to him, who has earned the right to take the book and to open it. And nobody in heaven or in earth or beneath the earth could be found who had the right to write to take that book. But somebody did. Ooh, glory. Somebody did. And that somebody we're going to understand next Saturday. I tell you what, these kind of things are just so rich, they're overwhelming. I don't know whether you love to study the Bible like I do or not, but I'm a man of the book. I'm a man of the book. And I want to live in it. I want to bring it to you. And I'm very simple. I'm not some eloquent, a great scholar who speaks with lofty words and sounds like some, great mind. No. I'm just an old-fashioned country preacher. I'm just an old-fashioned grandfather kind of a man. That I love God, I love the church, I love the people of God, but above all, I love my Father, and I love my Savior, and I love the Holy Spirit, and I love the angels. Angels take care of me. I'd be dead a long time ago, hadn't been for the angels. I've got enough enemies. I'm telling you, I've got quite a few enemies, but they don't have any control. They can't stop me. I'm just going to serve God. I've already forgiven every one of them. I don't have a grudge against nobody. I don't have a feeling of anger against nobody, not an ounce. If I had a feeling of anger, I'd go repent and pray till it was gone. I really would. Now, you've heard this program on the blood. I've made it plain. Not had a lot of calls. That's okay. I got to talk more. I love it. I love to preach. I love to bring you truth. And I got to tell you now, this book is real. And you will love chapter 5 next Saturday. You don't want to miss it. You really don't want to miss it. How about helping me? And let's have 1,000 listeners next Saturday. What do you say? Just with Facebook now. I have that, and I can get other numbers too, but I like the Facebook number, okay? And radio, all my radio friends, I love every one of you. My internet friends, I love every one of you. Bringing you these truths is a joy to me. It really is. Now, I want to tell you, I want to warn you. I want to make sure you grab it. You've got to understand, nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Do you know how much the church world, the real Christian world, is hated today? Do you know how much Obama has hated Christianity? And has hated Judaism. Do you understand that? Do you know how much they hate us in the Islamic world? Do you understand that? Millions of Christians have been killed over the last few years. Millions. Simply because they're Christians. Simply because they won't deny the name Jesus. They won't refuse the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, here's one of those. If it comes down to the wire, I would be more than willing to die for Christ. Can you imagine the beautiful thing that happens when a saint of God suddenly passes across the mystic realm of death and moves into that new realm of eternal blessing? Can you imagine what a man feels? When I preached the funeral for Brother Eugene Smith this past Monday in Jacksonville, Florida, God anointed me with His Holy Spirit, and I got to thinking, and I did a little. I'd done research in the past, a little research and study, learning all the beauties of these things. I'm here to tell you folks, it's wonderful. It's wonderful living for Him, loving Him, serving Him. There's nothing on the face of this earth like it. There is nothing like it. I love you. Now listen, if the weather clears up and we can, we'll have church tomorrow here at Paul Creek. You know, we just can hardly wait to have church. And I'm preaching in the morning, Lord willing. Listen to me now. I'm preaching on the wedding in the sky. Woo! Somebody shout hallelujah. The wedding in the sky. Do you know how soon all of this is? Do you know how soon all this is? Here's the question. Hi, Pastor. Do we have church tomorrow? Yes, Norma. Yes, yes. The sun is out there shining right now. There's no reason we won't have church tomorrow. I can tell you that now. If your church don't have church, you come to Paul Creek. Okay? Now, if there's something would get totally icy, we'll call it off. I understand. We're not crazy. Just halfway, you know. Now, listen. The Lord is coming, and His coming is at the door. And you really don't want to miss the coming of the Lord. You don't want to be left here for that dark tribulation period. I promise you, you don't want to be left here for that dark tribulation period. And if you play games, that's exactly what's going to happen to you. Now, I know I got to go. My friend is still here answering the phone. I want to send you this article, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. I want you to have this article. I really do. I want you to have this article. The coming of the Lord is at the door. The coming of the Lord is at the door. And I want you to get ready. I want you to trust in the blood. I want it to be your lifeline. I want you to live in the power of it and the grace of it, because it's wonderful to belong to the Lord. It's wonderful. The blood. Trust in the blood. Remember, many are called, but few are chosen. Remember, the devil hates the blood. You make sure you love what the devil hates. In every case, I love you. God bless you. You're precious to me. You're precious to me. You really are. God bless your heart.